boy. Junior's quite the little champion.
Friendship, how are you this morning? All right, I've got my little bit of my James Earl Jones voice going on here, so a little deeper than normal, but I hope that you all are feeling better than I am right now. This wonderful weather just kind of does that to you. So we're gonna make it through this morning and week two of Perfect Parents and Other Myths. Last week we talked about the fact that timeouts are just for kids. And I love the fact that I saw all throughout the week multiples of you putting out the timeouts that you were giving yourself, whether it was locking your kids in the closet or, you know, giving them food and then falling asleep while they were watching, whatever the case may be. And if you have not followed on Instagram or on Facebook some of the pictures that have been put on, oh my word, some are fantastic. I love personally the point of view ones, you know, where the kids are like reaching out at you and screaming at the same time. Those are wonderful. But we're going to begin today in week two, and today, the myth today is it's just not worth it. You know, whenever someone tells you something that you need to do, you immediately begin an internal conversation where you begin to weigh the pros and the cons, the positives, the negatives. You begin to weigh the sacrifices, the potential gains. You begin to process through all of these things, determining whether or not it's worth it to you. For instance, if I were to say to you, hey, if you were to walk 5 miles every single day and drink a gallon of water, you would feel absolutely better. You'd probably lose 20 pounds, and it would be wonderful. Immediately in your mind, you begin to process whether or not it's worth it to you. So you go, no, I don't really like water that much. When I drink water before, I get really, really cold. I don't like walking. It's horrible outside. It's rainy. It's cold. You never know what the day is going to be like. You know what? I don't want to lose 20 pounds. It's not worth it. And you just do that conversation. Or for example, someone said this to me, you know, David, don't eat all the chocolate mayonnaise cupcakes that somebody made for you with the Cool Whip icing on them. And, because if you do, you're going to get a stomach ache. And so immediately in my brain, I began this internal conversation of whether or not eating all of the chocolate mayonnaise cupcakes were worth it. And I came to the conclusion that they were. Now, some of you, you know, maybe you're the person that someone says, listen, if you don't stop buying all these shoes or all these tools, or you don't keep buying these cars, you don't keep buying these things, you're never going to have enough money for retirement. Now, if you're 20 years of age, you're probably going, well, man, 20, I'm 65, I'll probably be dead by the time I'm 65. I mean, it's so far away. And then if you're in your 30s, you're like, maybe I should start thinking about that. If you're in your 40s like me, you're going, man, that's a whole lot closer than you feel like it is. And you really hope that you live a whole lot longer than that. If you're in your 60s, you're like, you stupid people, you don't even know what's going on yet. So, you know, we have all these things and these internal conversations that we have in our brains. When somebody says we need to do something, we begin to weigh the process. So today, I want to give to you probably the most important thing when it comes to parenting that you as parents need to do. Now, if you don't have kids, this is still for you, because this is something that you, really all of us need to build into our lives. But specifically, if you have kids or you're married and you're getting ready at some point in time to have kids, this is so important and so essential for you to understand in doing this. But here's the difficulty. That thing, and this is the big idea, the thing that your kids need most is often the most difficult to maintain. And it's this big word called consistency. Consistency. The thing that your kids need most is most often the most difficult thing to maintain. And that consistency is so important in a child's life. It is absolutely essential, because consistency tells them the boundaries. Consistency tells them whether or not they're succeeding as a child, whether or not they're living up to your expectations, whether or not they're going to get in trouble or not. And that consistency gives them the ability to be at ease, to take a deep breath and realize that they're living within and living the way that mom and dad say they're supposed to live. And so if they live within those, they're going to be okay. But they know that mom and dad love them enough that if they step outside that consistency and they step outside those boundaries that mom and dad give, then they're gonna be in trouble. There's gonna be discipline that comes out of that. And consistency is so important, but here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I have mood swings. Anyone else have mood swings? Anyone else? Okay, good, good. Some of you are honest. Some of you just are lying right now because you're probably in the mood swing of feeling cranky and you haven't had enough coffee and you have no sleep. But we have mood swings. You know how difficult it is to be consistent when you feel bad, when you're having a bad day? Now, if you're feeling great, you're like on top of the world, it's wonderful, it's fantastic. You're like, oh, listen, they break down and cry, right? They're like, but you don't love me. You know what? You're right. Right now, I don't love you. No, don't ever say that. We're going to talk about that actually in just a minute. No, mommy and daddy still loves you, but you need to go to your room because what you did was wrong. And you're like, you know, and it's this constant fight that you have to do. And sometimes when you don't feel good, you in your mind say this, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Give them the bottle. Give them the candy. Let them have the markers. Let them stay up later. Yeah, let them crawl in bed with us. Let us do this. Let them be disobedient, but it's kind of funny. Because it's just not worth it in our mind. And we make that decision. Here's the problem, though. What that does is it creates inconsistency then in your child's life. And that creates an unstable foundation. And it allows them or causes them to constantly wonder where they stand with you as a parent. And that is never good when it comes to parenting. That consistency is so important. And it's hard. It's difficult to maintain. But it's absolutely important. Now, before we get into this, don't sit there and go, man, if I'm inconsistent one day, it's horrible. My kids are going to need to be in counseling for the rest of their life. It's going to be bad. You know, let's have the therapist on, you know, fast dial, speed dial, whatever the case would be. Kids are okay. Kids bounce back. But the key is, for the majority, you need to make sure that you're doing everything that you can and help your spouse, if you're married, to maintain that consistency. And there are four particular areas where we need to maintain that consistency. What I want to do today is I want to look at the ultimate parent. And there is no such thing as a perfect parent in our world, but there is a perfect parent, and his name is God the Father. And we can always look at how God the Father deals with us and then how we can then deal with our children. And so what I want to do in each of these passages is look how God is consistent with us in this nature, in this way, and then how we then can express that with our kids and how important it is. So the first thing is consistent guidance. The first way that we need to be consistent with our kids is consistent guidance. You know, sometimes it's really, really easy to, when our kids kind of push the buttons for so long or they exhaust us, to just go, you know what? Whatever, right? You ever said that as a mom, as a dad? You know, whatever. Just don't kill each other. Whatever. Just go. Whatever. And there's a difficulty in that, and there's a danger in that, because you're essentially saying, I'm going to remove my guidance from you right now and do whatever is right. There's an interesting passage in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, and it said that men began to do what was right in their own eyes. And shortly after that, God looked at the world and said, the world is so horrible and so evil, it cannot be redeemed. They're going to kill everything with a global flood. So if you want your household to be under a global flood, continue to not give guidance, okay? Because when human beings do what is right in their own eyes, rarely is it right in God's eyes. And so as a parent, your responsibility is to continually guide them and shape them in that. Let's see how God does that. Psalm chapter 32, verses 8 through 10 says this. God is talking, and he says, I will instruct and teach you about how you should live. You know, one of the things that sometimes we hear, especially as kids get older, is moms and dads saying things like this. I want them to figure it out for themselves. I want them to explore and try to figure things out. Sometimes even when it comes to their relationship with God. Well, they got to figure that out on their own. Do you know that's the reason that God made you their parent? That's the reason that God made you their parent. You're there to guide and instruct and teach them how they should go, what they should do, what the right thing is, what the wrong thing is, to give them those boundaries and the balance in their life so that they can be as successful as possible when it comes to what God has for them. And so don't ever step back and go, well, they'll figure that out on their own. You need to instruct them. Now, there is a point for sure, where you need to go, okay, I'm going to pull back a little bit because they need to get the consequences of this. They need to feel the pain of this so that they can learn not to do that in the future. But especially when they're younger, if they're still in your house, you're supposed to be that guiding influence in their lives. And I love this next phrase where God says, I will instruct and teach you how you should live. Then he says this, I will advise you as I look you in the eye. How many times, especially when your kids were younger, you're like, listen, look me in the eye, look me in the eye. Stop looking over there, look at my eyes, right? Why do we do that? Because we know if they're looking us in the eyes, we've got a better chance that the message is actually going to make it through to their brain, right? I love the fact that God says this. He says, listen, I will advise you as I look you in the eye. As I reach down with my divine hands and grab you on the side of your head and say, look me in the eye. Because God's going, listen, I don't want you to miss this. This is important. Some other translations take this and says, listen, as God watches over you every step that you take, it's as if God is looking over your shoulder going, nope, not that way, nope, not that way, nope, 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 ah, there you go. And that's how we need to be with our kids. If God is so active in guiding us and so consistent in giving us guidance, then we as well need to be that active and that involved in guiding our children as they go through their life. It's absolutely essential for us as parents to be able to do that. And then he gives some wonderful metaphors or analogies. He says, do not be like an unintelligent horse or mule, which will not obey unless they are controlled by a bridle and a bit. Now, if you can't figure out what he's trying to get to here, let me just break it down for you really quickly. He's saying, don't be a stubborn donkey. Don't be a mule, don't be a horse, that the only way that you'll do the right thing is if there's pain. Because when you do the wrong thing, there's always consequences. And so what God is saying to us as his children is don't live your life being ruled by the painful consequences of stupid choices. Instead, listen to me, make the right choice so that you can avoid that pain and be able to do the right thing. It says, don't be like that donkey or that horse and have to always have me be pulling back on you and yanking on you because I'm not going to let you make a wrong decision when it's under my ability and my purview to not let you do that. You see, as parents, there are some times where you just have to say no. Now let's practice that really quickly because that can be a really difficult thing to say. So if you're a parent this morning, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to express that in just a loving, kind way as you put a smile on your face or a smile really quickly. Okay, here we go. And then say, no. Now, that was terrible. Okay, let's try that one more time. Here we go. Ready? Go through. No. See, and you can smile while you say that. No. No, you can't do that. No, I love you, but no. In fact, that's the reason I'm saying no. Because I love you and I want you to survive. No, I don't think it's a good idea for you to free climb that rock wall. No, I don't think it's a good idea for you to play with that knife. No, mama loves you, so I'm going to take you to the corner right now. Because that is sometimes in a parent's responsibility is to literally go, I will not allow you to make that decision. That's not okay. Then he ends it with this. He says, an evil person suffers much pain. In other words, a person who makes wrong choices continually, who does the wrong thing, is going to suffer the consequences of that. But the Lord's faithfulness overwhelms the one who trusts in him. See, God the Father says this, listen, if you choose to reject my guidance, you will always receive the consequences of that. You'll constantly receive the pain of bad choices, of things that you're doing wrong, of things that you have chosen the wrong man or the wrong woman, you've chosen the wrong path, you've chosen to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, you will constantly reap those painful consequences. But then notice the positive side. He says, but those who follow me, those who listen to my guidance, I will overwhelm them with faithfulness. You see, one of the reasons, moms and dads, that it's so important for us to have consistent guidance in our child's life is because we want them to be overwhelmed with the good things in life, right? We want them to experience the joy that there is found in life. We want them to experience the positive things that come about when you make the right choices in life. And so that's why it's so important to give that consistent guidance, because not because you hate them and not because you're tired of them making bad choices and not because of all these other things, but because you want them to receive the benefit of being one who makes right choices and who does the right thing. And so you are constantly and consistently giving them guidance. And here is the wonderful truth behind it. If you are consistent in guiding them while they're in your home, when they're outside of your home, do you know what they're going to do? They're going to come back to you and say, hey, I've got this situation that's going on. Mom, Dad, what do you think? Because you have proven to be a consistent force for positive guidance in their life. Consistent guidance. The second one is this: consistent discipline. Consistent discipline. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 5 through 6, and then we're going to pick it up again in verses 10 through 11. The writer of Hebrews says this: my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Circle or underline that word rebukes. We're going to come back to that. Because the Lord disciplines, you can circle that word too, the ones that he loves, and he chastens, and that's another word you can circle, and we're going to give you definitions of these, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Then we're going to jump down to verse 10. But God disciplines us for our what? Our good. Not because he's joyful and sadistic, but because he wants it for our good. He says he disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Now, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. No one ever celebrated when they got disciplined, right? They were like, sweet, I got caught. Looking forward to this discipline. This is going to be fantastic. If so, then you might want to call the therapist at that point in time. But no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, specifically, the writer here uses three words. He uses the word rebuke. Rebuke is a strong verbal reprimand. In other words, your child is doing something that they're not supposed to do, and you go, no, that's wrong. Don't do that. I'm sure, you know, as parents, you have never, you know, been in the throes of doing something and looked across maybe your room or the living room or the family room where there's an expanse between you and your child. Maybe, I don't know, they had a butter knife and they were moving towards the light socket with great anxiety and great fear. You look up to realize that they're about ready to experience electricity firsthand. And you say, stop! That's a rebuke, because you have great anxiety in your voice and it is strong, and you are verbally reprimanding them, telling them to stop because you don't want them to get hurt. I say that's what rebuke is. It's a verbal reprimand. But then he uses the word discipline. I think this is such an incorrectly used word in our culture today, especially when it's written in Hebrews in the Old Testament. We see that that word discipline is not necessarily a word where we're talking about punishment, but discipline is all about training that corrects, molds, and perfects behavior. Discipline is all about taking a child's behavior and changing it, molding it, shaping it into that which is supposed to be. Sometimes we think of discipline and you say, well, you're going to discipline your child. And the image that you get in your mind is, you know, dad walking into the bedroom, undoing the belt, you know, going through the belt loops because you know it's coming. And that's discipline. Now, that can certainly be a part of discipline, but that is nowhere near the entire scope of discipline. And the third word that he uses is chasten. And this is, you talk about old school word. This is an old school word. This word chasten means this: you take someone that is prideful and you intentionally humble them. You ever, those of you that have middle school students, you've probably never experienced this, but a pride that begins to swell up and they begin to think of themselves more haughtily than they should think. And they begin to kind of get all like thumping their chest out and all that stuff. And maybe, you know, it's more, for guys, it's more like in high school when they begin to, you know, the phrase that my parents used to use was too big for your britches. And that needed to be chastened out of you because you need to be brought down because you're thinking too much of yourself. And in reality, you're thinking so much of yourself that you're going to end up getting into trouble. And so a parent's responsibility is to chasten, to bring you back to reality, because that's not who you really are. And so I think it's so powerful that the writer of Hebrews uses these three words. He says, listen, God's discipline of us is sometimes verbal. God sometimes rebukes us verbally. And oftentimes you feel that in your spirit when you're reading the Word of God, right? And it's like, oh, man, I can't believe that came right through and just got me right away. Sometimes it is a discipline. It is a God saying, no, no, we need to change this behavior in you. It is an active thing that you're doing that we need to correct. We need to mold. We need to shape in a different fashion. And sometimes God needs to humble us because we begin to think too much of ourselves. And so if God the Father does that to us, then we as parents need to take those three words and recognize that when it comes to disciplining our children, that we need to use those three things in the shaping and the molding of the character of our children. Now, there's a huge difference, and I intentionally use the word discipline, because there's a huge difference between punishment and discipline. Sometimes I hear parents say, well, we're going to get punished for that. And I understand where that's coming from, but I want to be very, very careful and help you understand the difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment is punitive. It actually comes from the word to be punitive. And it is an end in of itself. Punishment is simply a consequence for something that you do wrong. It does not address the behavior that took place prior to what it did. Discipline, however, says, listen, there may be punishment as a part of it, but discipline says, listen, we're going to go back because we want to correct the behavior that caused the punishment. We want to change that behavior because that is not acceptable behavior. Sometimes if as parents all we do is punish, we're not necessarily guiding and directing. We're just being punitive. We're like, we don't like that, so we want that to stop. So we're going to spank you because of that. Or we're going to give you a timeout because of that. Or we're going to take your dolls away because of that. But there's no correction. There's no discipline. There's no training to do that which is right that comes with it. And so it's very important to do that. Now, I'm going to use a passage of scripture that if you've ever heard a message at any point in time on disciplining your children, you've probably heard it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. But I want to focus on the latter part of this. It says, whoever spares the rod hates his child because you're not willing to correct that wrong behavior so that they will do the right thing. I know some people are like, yeah, spare the rod. Yeah, no, let's get the rod. But here's the thing I think that's important. Is look at the end of that verse. It says this, but the one who loves his child is diligent in disciplining him. In disciplining him. Because we want to correct that behavior and change that to bring it back to the way and the fashion that we believe is the right thing to do. Because disciplining and consistent discipline brings about the right behavior. So you've got consistent guidance. You've got consistent discipline. The third one is consistent love. Consistent love. In God's family, there are no favorites. God doesn't love somebody more because they read their Bible more, or they go to church, or they volunteer more, or they do this more, or they do that more. God doesn't have favorites. God doesn't work that way. And here's the other thing I think is really powerful. When we're disobedient, God's love towards us doesn't change. When we thumb our nose at God because we know what's right and we know what's wrong and we choose to do what's wrong, even though we know it's not what God wants and it breaks the heart of God, God's love for us is still consistent. It doesn't change. And as parents, sometimes we will withhold the expression of love because we want them to know how upset we are with them. You know, all that does is create anxiety within your kids. All it does is create an angst within them. Love is something that should be expressed because you have chosen. We did a series several months ago where we started out with the fact that, listen, love is a choice. And you choose to love your kids. Some days it may be more difficult than others, but you choose to love your kids because they are your kids. And so the expression of your love must never change, regardless of what they do or don't do. Now, how you discipline them has to be consistent. We just talked about that. The guidance has to be consistent, but that love can never change because that is the one thing in their life that they can always look back to and go, you know what, no matter what I do or don't do, mom and dad will always love me. Now, you may not like the choices that they make, and you may have to confront them about the things that they're doing, and it may need to have some hard conversations, but the love must always remain there. We go, why? Well, that's because that's how God loves us. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13 says this, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He is patient and demonstrates great loyal love. He does not always accuse. In other words, he's not looking all the time for what you did wrong. He does not stay angry. He does not deal with us as our sins deserve. He does not repay us as our misdeeds deserve. For as the skies are high above the earth, so his loyal love towers over his faithful followers. As far as the eastern horizon is from the west, so he removes the guilt from our rebellious actions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on his faithful followers. You see, when it comes to dealing with our children, our love needs to remain absolutely consistent. You ever had your children do something that you got so upset over? I mean, I'm sure never in your household have you ever gotten really upset over something that your kids have done, where it literally in your heart and in your mind, it's like you're going, I love you, but right now, and you just get so overwhelmed because of the emotion of it. And as you discipline, here's the thing. When you discipline, you have to allow that emotion to fade away because the expression of your love must remain the same. And that's not always easy. It's sometimes really difficult to do that. And I tell you what often will break that in us the most is when our kids come back and we're still like tumultuous on the inside. And they go, I'm so sorry, Mommy. I love you. And you're like, I love you too. Right? Because you're still dealing with those emotions. But it's so important to remember that our children need that consistent love from us regardless of what they do or don't do. It can never be used as a discipline method because love does not from the Father come with conditions. It's unconditional. The fourth one is that we need to have a consistent example. A consistent example. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Paul says, you know, those who love Jesus Christ, it is absolutely essential for you to understand that your responsibility is to imitate God, imitate Christ in your life. And if we as moms and dads are supposed to imitate God and imitate Christ in everything that we do, then we are a father, we are to be a mother to our children as God is a father to us. Now, if we think about that, we have to realize that that is a huge thing for us to live up to. And we have to recognize that we will never be a perfect father or mother like God is a perfect parent to us. But that doesn't mean that we stop trying. And here's the powerful truth. If you want to change your child's life, the biggest thing that you can do is begin to emulate your father. And as you emulate your father as you go through life, your children will begin to emulate you. Your children will begin to go, wow, I see this in mom. I see this in dad. And the reason that you're doing that is because you see that in your heavenly father. And so as you are emulating your father, they are emulating you. Because here's the truth that we all know, we just hate to admit it. We all know this, that our kids will learn a whole lot more about us and how to live through how we live than they will through our lectures. They'll learn a whole lot more about life through how we live our life than what we tell them they should do or shouldn't do. They will emulate your life. They will emulate your walk with God. They will emulate how you have a relationship with your spouse. They will emulate how you parent as a parent. And so if you want to change maybe the very direction of the course of your family tree, one of the best things that you can do is to give them a consistent example of a mom or a dad who follows God with reckless abandon and passion. So this morning, we've talked about the fact that your kids need consistency. And we started with the fact that consistency may be the most difficult thing to give them because we're all human beings. So how do we get to the point where we can give consistency to our kids? We begin by emulating the Father. We begin by doing what He has done for us. When your kid misbehaves next time, ask yourself, okay, how did God deal with me on this time? How am I supposed to react to my child? How can I give and give them consistent guidance? How can I give them the consistent example? How can I give them consistent discipline? How can I show them consistent love? And if we are willing to do it that way, the Bible says that then we have set our kids up for the maximum amount of success. Are they still human beings? Yes. Will they still make bad choices? We all know that's true. Will they still probably choose their own path in life? Absolutely. But as long as you, as a mom or a dad, are consistent, you will always have a voice in their life. And you can always be there when they need you most. So the biggest thing that your kids need is for you to be consistent. And for you to be able to be consistent, the most important thing you can do is to emulate your dad, your father, God the Father. God, we thank you so much. Such a joy to be able to be in your presence. And God, we are amazed and blessed that you would allow us to have these things called kids, that we would be willing to parent them. God, whatever the case may be, whatever our home looks like right now, whatever difficulties we may be experiencing in parenting, God, I pray that we would realize that that consistency is so important. It's so essential and it's so necessary for our kids. They need to see in us that we are willing to do whatever it takes to parent them the right way, to guide them, to discipline them, to love them, and to be an example for them. God, I pray for every mom and every dad that's here today, every soon-to-be mom and soon-to-be dad here today, God, that you would help them build that consistency in their life. For every person here today, maybe who doesn't have kids, that just consistency is something that they need to strive for, God. And I pray in their interactions with others that they would emulate the consistency, God, the never-changing character of who you are with us. Thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.